Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We locked and loaded. 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio. Eco Word, Eco Word, Eco Word, each and every Friday, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. I'm excited to be on your airways this Friday. We got a jam-packed show as always. And kicking off today's show, we have a trio, a dynamic trio coming to the airways this morning to talk a little bit about an amazing tool that will be coming to the city of Philadelphia that can help all of us, as far as policymakers, people who are just interested, people who just want to know what's going on. It's a tool that they're creating out of the Office of Sustainability with a partnership with the Academy of Natural Sciences to make this come alive for the city of Philadelphia. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves because they have some amazing titles. You know what I mean? So I'm going to start with you, Wynn, because you're the first one on my screen. Talk to me, please introduce yourself and let the people know who they're listening to.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Wynn. I use he and they pronouns. I'm an environmental planning and policy researcher and geospatial data scientist at the Academy of Natural Sciences. And I'm really excited to be here and talk about our mapping tool.
Yes, Genevieve, talk to us.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Lamar-Lemay, Deputy Director for Environmental Justice in the city's Office of Sustainability. I use she/her pronouns. I've been at the city for coming up on 4 years. We now have a
Beautiful.
three-person environmental justice team, and our division works to improve access to environmental health data, information, and resources, and to support community organizations with grants, technical assistance, educational programming, and networking opportunities.
I love it. Alexis, talk to me.
Hi, I'm Alexis Schulman. I direct the Environmental Policy and Planning Department in the Patrick Center for Environmental Research, which lives inside of the Academy of Natural Sciences, which is Philadelphia's first and only natural history museum, founded in 1812 and probably one of the oldest in the Northern Hemisphere.
I
So good to
love
be
that.
here.
I love that. And Genevieve, I want to start, with you because when it comes down to the Office of Sustainability, we have had an amazing push in 2025 of making it a greener city, as far as Philadelphia, and then also making sure that we are pushing forward to sustainability, right? Like actual sustainability. So I wanted to ask you, why did your office choose to, think about this tool? Like, why do you think that this tool is important to roll out, and especially in a year like the 250?
Yeah, so this, before we started chatting, I was talking about, I was trying to think about how long we've been working on this project, and it's been a very long time. I just noted we are a three-person team as of like 2 weeks ago. So
Okay.
this has been a little bit of a bear of a project, but grateful to have really good partners on this. Our environmental justice team is also 4 years old-ish. I was our first hire in that space, and I'm really, really excited about this project. I think especially having a small team, we recognize that we have very limited capacity, and the need for a tool like this arose really early, where like how can we be really smart about the issues that we work on, where we focus our time and our li limited resources. And so we've kind of used the maps that are available and information that's been available over the last few years to inform our decision making around things like resource allocation. But we recognize that the tools that have been available to us have been flawed and haven't really recognized Philadelphia's unique context.
That's real.
And so, really excited to have a tool that we're building with the Academy, but there's also been a lot of community engagement going into this to build something that's reflective of Philadelphia's context, so that going forward, we are making better decisions again about even just, for our staff. One of the first things we did when our division launched was to host a dialogue series in a couple Philadelphia neighborhoods. At the time, there were two of us. There was no way we could go to every neighborhood across the city and meaningfully talk to people. So even decisions like that, where it's like, if we know we can go a couple places, where should we go? It's like an early question. And also for our financial resources, we, are grateful to have some funding, but it's limited. So like, where should we really place our investments? And so I'm excited to have this tool, so that we can make better, more impactful decisions that are equitable for this city. And grateful to have partners at the Academy that I think can also speak to like how this is beneficial, not just for departments that face similar challenges like we do, but also can be helpful for residents and community-based organizations whose needs are and use cases are a bit different than ours.
And you're actually going into my next question. And when I wanted to ask you, building off what Genevieve just said, another tool, but this time you're saying this tool's better. This time you're saying it's going to be proficient. So talk to me when, knowing the demographic of Philadelphia and people who really want to be in public spaces and green spaces, you know, how does this tool actually help for people to fall back in love with the city?
So I think just to address the first part in terms of why we're making another tool when there are other EJ mapping tools that exist, I think what we've generally found is that there are these tools that try to address issues throughout the nation, but environmental justice issues in Philadelphia are going to be very different than those in like Alaska. And so there's only so much you can do with one map that's trying to address everything in the whole country. And so that's why local tools are so important, because then we have access to data that's only available for the city of Philadelphia, and we can get closer to a map that really like represents people's lived experiences. And also there are just various data sets that we think are really important that weren't included in various tools. And another large part of this is that there were these federal tools, and I'm using the past tense because a lot of them don't exist anymore. They've been
As well.
taken down. And then just the other part of your question in terms of how people will be able to use this, like Genevieve said, it can be used by the city for various types of decision making. But we're also hoping that it can be useful to generally like residents and community organizations for things like advocacy or environmental education, directing their various programs or campaigns. We also see this as being useful to researchers and educators that can use it to, interact with and educate people using the various data sets available.
I love that. Thank you so much for your answer. And Alexis, I wanted to ask you too, you know, building off what both of them just said, bringing in collaboration, you know, and bringing in more community engagement shows that this is what this tool is all about. Talk to me about that collaboration, community engagement. How does this tool actually merge or intersect those thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good question, and engagement was a critical part of designing this tool collectively. And I'd like to shout out some partners who aren't here, which is Hinge Collective, Kermit O, and Angus Welch,
Awesome.
who were especially integral in connecting with community-based organizations and the communities that they serve, as well as talking to, we talked to over 20 different environmental nonprofits in the city who are focused on environmental justice concerns. And I mean, the reason for doing this was because we recognized that building a tool without the input and information, as Wynn said, about the lived experience of these individuals who are in many of these most overburdened and marginalized neighborhoods, as well as if we did not speak to the nonprofits who and other groups that are doing work on the ground, we would be building a tool that would probably have little relevance to their day-to-day. And it was really critical for, again, for this tool, just to reiterate what's already been said, for this tool not just to be of use to city agencies, but really for us to be able to put into the hands of community activists and community-based organizations and other groups who are already on the ground, already doing amazing work, put this in their hands so that they can really amplify their impact.
I love that. And Alexis, I'm going to stick with you for a second, you know, because prior to coming on, we talked a little bit about the rollout of the actual tool. So I want to talk a little bit about that as we're getting people excited, right? They're probably Googling it right now. So when it comes down to the rollout of the actual tool, how would it become accessible to the public, the general public of Philadelphia?
Yeah, great. We just had the city-led community resilience and environmental justice convening. This was an event that Genevieve can talk more about that brought different groups from across the city who have received grants from the Office of Sustainability to support the incredible work they're doing. They all came together along with all of the folks that we interviewed, which are literally in the hundreds. And we had representatives from each of these organizations come. And we showed them the first iteration of what this tool might look and feel like for them. And that was really this opportunity to, we've gotten a lot of feedback, but now here's this real thing that takes hopefully you're seeing yourself in the tool. It takes the thing
Awesome.
that you told us, and we got some feedback from them again, which we're going to incorporate into the build, which is starting now. And Genevieve can talk more about the CREJ convening and the timeline, but we are really hoping that this tool will be in the hands of people by the end of this year.
I love it. Genevieve, jump in for me. Talk to me a little bit about what Alexis was talking about.
Yeah, and I'll actually build on an earlier question where you were asking, like, how is this going to be meaningful or relevant for community organizations? We did. The convening was really helpful. I think a lot of resources and time will go into building something. So we wanted to give people like a visual of what we're aiming for before starting that process so that we can really make changes now. We did ask a few survey questions. One, just like, are we moving in the right direction? Was a big one. So we had like a 5-point scale, and like really excited to see that most people said 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5 that this is moving in the right direction. And then I did just want to call out the specific feature in the tool that people felt was most valuable to their day-to-day or project-based work, and that was being able to get a downloadable report that's like just for your neighborhood or whatever geography that you select, that includes the data sets you're interested in, and being able to like take that to a funder, or if you're an advocacy organization, to whoever you're advocating to, and be able to have data that's going along with the other narrative you're communicating. And so I think we
Awesome.
heard this come up in the 6 community workshops we held, and then it was reiterated again at the convening that was like, this is the main that received like the most votes or interest, and we really want to use this feature. Just to build on the convening.
That is
So
actually pretty fire, if you don't mind me saying. That is
I'm very
dope. That is
excited.
in the interest of the people right there. That feature right there is in the interest of the people, the grassroots organizations who are out here doing the work that need the support but don't necessarily have the backing to get the data. So thank you so much for that input. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was actually pretty fire.
I please cut us off at any point you're excited about something. I think something I'm kind of detouring from your initial question, but something that's going to be really important once this tool is released is just feedback. Like, I really want to hear the things people love. I think that's helpful for us to make the case to continue to kind of improve this and to be able to say, listen, people are actually using this. And it'd be great for us to receive stories around like, how are you using this? But also we want to know like what's not working for you still, because this is something that we plan to, regularly maintain and update. So all of the feedback is going to be very helpful, good and bad. So I guess I'll just note for the convening. So we see it as really important to increase data accessibility, but also to directly resource organizations. So that is that grant-funded work. We have a community resilience and environmental justice grant fund. We've gone through 2 rounds of funding, where we, in the first round, issued grants to 15 organizations, the second round to 20 organizations, to give them projects to kind of just further advance their work. There's a lot of organizations that already have wonderful EJ solutions in mind and really just need more resources to increase their impact. So that's what that was. And with respect to the networking opportunities, and I'll shout out my colleague, Justina Thompson, who manages the CREJ Fund. But I think something we learned is that giving grants and funding is great, but there's other needs organizations have that's like technical assistance and capacity building. So organizations also received wraparound services. And I think there may be a follow-up conversation where Justina will talk more about this, but wraparounds, but then also an annual convening where all these organizations can come together, meet each other, see how maybe they can collaborate or just troubleshoot problems together. And so we have that annual convening and felt this tool could also be really helpful for those organizations. And so we wanted to make sure we received their feedback on this process as well.
I love that. Thank you so much for breaking that down. And Wynn, I want to jump you back in, and you all, this conversation is amazing, but I do want to put out there, we only got about 5 minutes left. Wynn, I wanted to jump you back in by asking a question about creativity, right? One of the things about the Academy is that you all are creative. You find different ways to get out to the community using creativity. So I wanted to just ask that for the people who are listening right now, who love environmental justice, who want to blend arts and culture with it, how does this tool actually help them, or how can they navigate through the app as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are definitely interested. Like, I know that whatever people end up doing with this tool, people are going to use it in ways that we didn't expect. And I'm really excited about that. And like, being able to see how people are creative with what we give them. I think that also just makes me, I want to touch on the fact that like we are really committed to providing training and education as the tool comes out, where we don't want to just put it out in the world. We want to provide as much handholding as we can do to make sure that people and organizations are able to use this tool for whatever creative things that they want to use it for furthering their work. We want to be able to support that. And I think
And one of the reasons why I asked is because a lot of grassroots organizations are creating, block cleanups. They're creating, different ways to come together for different gardens and things like that. So I was just saying, like, how can those creative spaces get onto the app, to make sure that their garden is being recognized or to make sure that their cleanup for that week or something is being recognized. So I was talking about more or less in those creative
I see.
spaces. Yeah.
I mean, I think that brings up something that has been a struggle in that we want people to see their work represented on the tool. But once you start having sort of like community uploaded data, it opens this whole can of worms that can be really challenging to manage. And so we are trying to balance that by like having input from people about what data they want to see.
Awesome.
That already exists. We're thinking about what data sets we can create in the future. And we're also thinking about like building on what Genevieve said, like we want this tool to also feature organizations and the work that they're doing so that like not necessarily in the map itself, but in the accompanying website, people will be able to share information about what they're working on. And I'll just also add that like the tool does have this sort of resources and solutions aspect. So like when you are looking at the air quality data, you can see what organizations are working on air quality, maybe like some articles to learn more about how it relates to other issues and things like
Awesome.
that.
Awesome. And Alexis, one of the biggest things that our city right now is pushing is for a greener Philadelphia. Do you think that this mapping tool, as it continues to roll out and continues to help w as far as data, do you think that this would actually show proof that we are pushing towards a greener Philadelphia?
Oh, that's a good question. I hope so. Yes. And that will depend on us having that these new data sets that are showing progress in the city. But I think it will absolutely be able to put the information into the hands of resident activists who are saying we need more investment in green space in our communities because you can see that we don't have as much as other communities in this city. So I think it is going to I hopefully give communities the ability to speak more truth to power.
I love that. And Genevieve, I wanted to ask you this question because right now, technically, one of the biggest things that residents are told if they do have a concern with any type of environmental justice issue, whether it's dumping, whether it's trash, anything like that, we're told to call 311. So is there any connection with 311 in the mapping tool to the complaints that people are sending over to the city and how this can connect to the tool at the same time for 311 to actually make it easier based on the data that the tool is putting together?
So, some of the, I think we will have some 311 data in
Awesome.
the tool because, like, that's, when you report dumping, it goes through 311. So, we would see from there, like, how many reports are made. So, there will be that connection of a data
Awesome.
source.
That is really big. That is really big because calls are coming in, and now we can show, like, hey, I called 10 times. Check the map. You know what I mean?
So I think that is definitely a connection. I will just note, I think some through some of the engagement we've had, there have been some requests or interests that would lead to almost like creating a duplicate to 311. So I'll say we're also being careful to not duplicate anything that's in existence. So we won't be duplicating 311. We won't make like a finder tool because those kind of already exist.
Okay.
So we're really trying to fill a gap and have this be a really great educational resource to share data, resources, to learn more about issues and make connections to other organizations. It may not be everything though. And so just to build on, I think the question that went to Wynn earlier, I also think for our first version, there may be some limitations to what we can do, but we're also planning to build a tool where you could pull information from this and like add on your own data. So say there's data that's just available for one neighborhood. For those that are good with mapping, and I realize it'll kind of depend on the skills folks have, they would be able to take all of the data and like create their own specific map and add on other things that are unique to their neighborhood if we aren't able to do it citywide.
I love that. So right now it's not necessarily available for the public. But Genevieve, talk to me a little bit about like the actual rollout and what does that look like, as far as the modules and things like that.
Yeah, so as Alexa said, we're working on the build right now. We're in a data collection phase, gathering everything, mapping the data, making sure we're addressing any issues we see and cleaning it. We're hoping to have our initial timeline was to have
Fingers
the build
crossed.
complete by around summer. I will say what stood out to me as feedback from the convening was to really focus on accessibility, which I think is critical. It may extend our timeline a little bit, but that's just like language accessibility. So translation, but also are we using common language? And that can be difficult for us sometimes. So to really think about that. And then, like Wynn said, the training and the education. So summer, fall, if we can give ourselves a little buffer to work on those things, but definitely this year for the first version. And then we plan to update the data at least annually. So you could expect another version to come out in a year or two, depending on how many changes we make between them. But this would be kind of a something that we would maintain going forward.
I love that. And before we wrap up, Alexis, how can people find more information? How can they stay logged? If there's like a website or something you want to give them, or just like an email that they can send to you, talk to me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure Genevieve is very open to potentially having the Office of Sustainability accept some emails. And I would say I would also be more than happy to accept emails if folks are interested in the tool. We would love to talk to more individuals who weren't necessarily pulled in that first process. And it's pretty easy. It's just my name, alexis.schulman@drexel.edu. And that's alexis.schulman@drexel.edu.
Thank you so much. Wynn, any last words for the people?
I think I'll just, say what Alexis said in terms of like we would love to hear from anyone who has thoughts on how we can make this tool as useful as possible. Like that's really the goal, to make something that people will use.
I love that. And Genevieve, kick it off for us. You know, when it comes down to the social media website, he's like, I'm just joking. If you have any type of information you want to give to the people.
I will echo what was said. I feel free to email me. My email's really long. I'm not going to spell it out, but it is on the Office of Sustainability's website. It's much easier to copy and paste from there. And I would love to hear from folks that are interested in this project.
Yes, thank you all for the work that you're doing. I appreciate you for inputting community into this project. You know, that I think is going to be the sustainable aspect to it. So thank you so much for the impact that you're making for the city over these years to really push towards a sustainable, greener Philly. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we got more Eco Word, Eco Word, Eco Word. Stay locked, jam-packed show.